At the Washington National Cathedral today, five U.S. presidents gathered to remember the 41st. Among those at the state funeral who eulogized George H.W. Bush were his son, former President George W. Bush.
Of course, Dad taught me another special lesson. He showed me what it means to be a president who serves with integrity, leads with courage, and acts with love in his heart for the citizens of our country.
NPR's Ron Elving joins us from Washington. Ron, that relationship between father and son, both presidents, is rare in the history of this country. What else did we hear from the younger President Bush?
The younger President Bush put a great deal of emphasis on the family life that they shared, on the great sorrows that his father had endured, particularly the loss of a daughter when Donna Robin was just 3 years old, and what that had always meant to him and how he had observed that and how it had stayed with his father throughout his life. He shared much of the life between his mother and father and gave us just a little bit of a sense of both the saltiness and the extraordinary fondness between those two people over a marriage of almost three quarters of a century.
One of the speakers today was historian and Bush biographer John Meacham, who gave one of the eulogies. Here's what he said.
Abraham Lincoln's better angels of our nature and George H.W. Bush's thousand points of light are companion verses in America's national hymn. For Lincoln and Bush both called on us to choose the right over the convenient, to hope rather than to fear, and to heed not our worst impulses, but our best instincts.
Now, sitting just feet away from John Meacham were many former presidents and the current president, Donald Trump. How did you read into what he said there, choosing hope rather than fear?
Hope, obviously, is a word associated largely with Barack Obama because of his book titles. But this is John Meacham's own book theme about the struggle for the American soul. And he was addressing a much larger audience than just that front row, although, of course, it would be impossible to miss all those presidential faces and all of the contention between them and all the things that they stood for. I don't think there's been anything really overt that was directed at President Trump, but the veiled reference would have to be awfully heavily veiled. No veil could obscure the implicit contrast that was implicit in so much of what was said today.
Well, and we remember that it wasn't long ago at this very same cathedral that John McCain was remembered, and President Trump wasn't invited to that funeral. Today was the first time that President Trump has spoken to President Obama since the inauguration of President Trump almost 2 years ago.
There's been a good deal of comment already about how prior to President Trump's arrival, there had been chatting going back and forth between Presidents Obama and Bush and President Carter, who is sitting there, mm-hmm. and that there seemed to be a certain amount of friendliness, actually, among several of these folks. And then, of course, the president and the first lady arrived, and things got serious, even a little bit stone-faced for a while. But, you know, after all, to be fair, the arrival of the president of the United States is essentially when the funeral becomes official and officially begins. And so all of that was appropriate mm-hmm. in its own way.
The last state funeral for a U.S. president was more than a decade ago after Gerald Ford died in 2006. Talk about the significance of this moment and how Bush's funeral compares to past state funerals that you've witnessed.
There's a tremendous effort made to have ceremonial continuity in these events. That is epitomized, of course, by the use of the catafalque on which Abraham Lincoln's body once was laid. Presidential funerals are organized and conducted by the family, of course, but also by the military. This is for a man who has been commander-in-chief, the symbol of military hierarchy and authority. It needs to have a certain ceremonial sameness and to show respect for the office overall. And to some degree, from some people at least, that remains the greatest imperative of these ceremonies.
In addition to being president, Bush was also vice president, congressman, UN ambassador, special envoy to China, director of the CIA, and he served in combat. He was a Navy pilot during World War II. How did he want to be remembered today?
You would have to say this is exactly the way he would have wanted to have been remembered. With all that I've said about the formalities, the greatest impression you take away from this whole experience, this whole event, is the extraordinary fondness with which he was being remembered by his most intimate family members and also by some of his oldest friends. This was not just a life of historical significance. This was a life that a great number of people appreciated on a personal level to an unusual degree, and that, I think, is the primary impression.
And clear from the messages from many of his speakers, including his son, George W. Bush, he had a sense of humor. That was part of today's events as well. NPR's Ron Elving in Washington, thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.